Hi friends, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. Today we're going to touch on a few topics that are prevalent in Christendom today. Prevalent not in a good way, though. They are prevalent and they're very persuasive, they're very widespread. However, I think that they need to be eradicated from Christianity. And you'll understand why I say that as we work our way through this conversation. And by the way, I've got Paul and Adam joining me for this episode. Paul and Adam are elders at Calvary Chapel of Lima. And you may recall the last time they were on. Great conversation, a lot of good feedback. But I want to start today with a passage in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. It's not a translation that I use. It's basically a paraphrase, is why I don't use it. But in this particular instance, it does convey very well the meaning behind this passage. And I'll tell you why in a moment. But here's what it says. Galatians 3, verse 1 from the New Living Translation. O foolish Galatians, what magician has cast an evil spell on you? For you used to see the meaning of Jesus Christ's death as clearly as though I had shown you a signboard with a picture of Christ dying on the cross. Well, that's pretty descriptive. Now, the operative word there, what magician has cast an evil spell on you, an evil spell, that operative word there, in both the New American Standard and the King James, is actually bewitched. Bewitched. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has cast this spell upon you? And what this is pointing to, folks, what this is pointing to is occultism. Occultism. There is no other way to define it but that. And Paul would go on then within this letter to the Galatians and talk about this being a different gospel that had infiltrated the Galatian churches, and it actually mesmerized them or cast a spell upon them. So, with that as an introduction,
remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
With that as an introduction, I want to bring in Paul and Adam, whom I have the blessing of serving with as elders at Calvary Chapel of Lima. Paul, Adam, welcome back to Soaring Eagle Radio.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, good. So then use this mute button.
Yes. Well, what's the subject that we're going to talk about today, guys? The prosperity gospel.
Money.
prosperity gospel, and of course that's related to the wealth gospel, and they are one and the same. It is our contention, let's just lay this out right from the beginning, that it is our contention, we are in agreement, that this so-called prosperity gospel, and this is just one plank or tenet under the broader gospel of what we would call false or fake gospel called the word faith gospel. Now, I hope that that really caused some people to sit up and pay attention, because my guess is there may be some listening to us, guys, that subscribe to a word faith or prosperity, wealth, and health gospel, and it is not our intention to attack people, but it is our intention to encourage and educate people on this subject. So, as we get started talking about this today, I mentioned that this is clearly, in our view, the occultism that has infiltrated much of the church, and it has taken people away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about the prosperity gospel, guys, and either one of you are free to jump in there. When we talk about the prosperity gospel, what exactly are we talking about? When we say prosperity or wealth and health gospel, what are we talking about there? Can you define that for our listeners? You think that we're exaggerating, because believe me, Paul, Adam, myself, we don't exaggerate at all. We'll just state plainly what we're thinking. We do not exaggerate. Here's a quote from Copeland. You can find this on What Satan Saw on the Day of Pentecost. Here's the quote. It wasn't the physical death on the cross that paid the price for sin. Anybody could do that.
The Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, son, realize this. Now follow me in this. Don't let your tradition trip you up. A twice born man whipped Satan in his own domain. And I threw my Bible straight up like that. I said, what? He said a born again man defeated Satan. The firstborn of many brethren defeated him. He said, you are the very image and the very copy of that one. I said, goodness gracious sakes alive. And I began to see what had gone on in that. And I said, well, now you don't mean, you couldn't dare mean that I could have done the same thing. He said, oh yeah, if you'd known that, had the knowledge of the Word of God that he did, you could have done the same thing. Because you're a reborn man too.
One born again human being defeated all of hell.
Later, Copeland said in What Happened from the Cross to the Throne, he said this, every prophet that walked the face of the earth under the Abrahamic covenant could have paid the price if it were a physical death only. When he said it is finished on the cross, he was not speaking of the plan of redemption. Let me pause there for effect. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, Copeland says he was not speaking of the plan of redemption. The plan of redemption had just begun. There were still 3 days and three nights to be gone through. Jesus accepted the sin nature of Satan in his own spirit. Come on, folks, how much of this are you going to accept before you kick this guy to the curb and say he is a rambling, demon-possessed blasphemer? Jesus took on the nature, the sin nature of Satan in his own spirit? Are you kidding me? Here's what else they believe. They believe that Jesus went into hell to suffer for you and me. And there, he became a born-again man, and that is what guaranteed our redemption. Adam, you got anything to add? Because I'm getting
so dumb,
fired up.
I'd like to add a quick note that I'm sure there's a lot of people that listen to Joyce Meyer. She ascribes to exactly that same theology. So that was just to make sure that everybody knows that.
Yeah. and I think all these people are, you know, different versions of the same camp. You know, they'll all, you know, they got the same core, but they'll word things a little different or might vary a little bit in certain words they use or something else. But I don't know. I am not – Paul is my word faith expert. So whenever I don't understand something, I call Paul. But, it's pretty simple to denounce this. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." You know what I mean? Jesus went down to Abraham's bosom for 3 days. That's where his the body. The Bible says his body went into the tomb, and his soul went down into Abraham's bosom, and then his spirit went up to heaven. So that's try to wrap your mind around that. But it is finished means it is finished. This is not something we have to read in between the lines. Those things were paid for on the cross. He was not down in hell suffering. What is that? Is that First Peter that talks about him witnessing and preaching to the captives?
Preaching to the captives, yes.
Yeah, so he's not down there in agony and so forth. And we can learn from Luke 16 that you can be in Abraham's bosom and talk to everybody down there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So...
yeah,
you know.
So let me go back to the original point we were making, and we kind of went off a little bit to prove that the whole system is rotten. But I want to bring us back because I found this information as I was prepping for this conversation, guys. And again, the history, folks, the history of it is undeniable. You can trace everything that we're saying today. You can trace this back. It goes all the way back to Phineas Quimby. Phineas Quimby, he passed it on to Mary Baker Patterson, was her name before she became Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science. So Phineas Quimby taught Mary Baker Eddy, and from Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science then emerged something that folks haven't heard a lot about, but it's called the Unity School of Christianity. It's all mind science. It's the mind science cult. It's mind over matter. It's denying reality. It's not admitting sin or sickness or any kind of troubles. It's only speaking positively. Here's how that relates to prosperity. The basic doctrine, and this applies just as much to word faith, prosperity, health, wealth as it today as it did in all of these movements leading up to this manifestation of the mind science cults, which is prosperity, health, wealth, word faith, however you want to term it. But the basic presuppositions, it is always the same, always the same. And here it is. You ready? And I'm going to say this just as frankly as I possibly can. God is used to get stuff. God is used to get stuff. Guys, how many times have you heard me say that God is not a cosmic vending machine?
Oh, yeah. Too many times to count.
Too many times to count, because that's what the word faith, prosperity, health, wealth teach. And they actually teach this. And here's a quote. Here's a quote from Charles Fillmore, who was Mary Baker Eddy disciple and branched off when Eddy got too controlling and he wanted to do his own thing. In other words, he wanted to make money and not have to pay her a portion of it. That's what it equates to, because here's what he said. He said, "You cannot use God too often. He loves to be used, and the more you use him, the more easily you use him, and the more pleasant his help becomes." He says this. He reinterpreted Psalm 23, and you guys are going to just... He reinterpreted Psalm 23, and this is what Fillmore wrote, one of the early progenitors of the prosperity, health, wealth gospel. He said this, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my banker, my credit is good. He maketh me to lie down in the consciousness of omnipresent abundance. He giveth me the key to his strongbox. He restoreth my faith in his riches. He guideth me in the paths of prosperity for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk in the very shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a way for me in the presence of the collector. Thou fillest my wallet with plenty. My measure runneth over. Surely goodness and plenty will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall do business in the name of the Lord forever." I'm not making this stuff up, guys.
That whole time I was trying to find out how to mute you. It hurt my ears. My ears are bleeding. And I will point out that the one of the early people that brought this into the Pentecostal movement was E.W. Kenyon, which you hadn't got to yet, obviously. But and then, of course, Tim Pagan got it from him, and the rest is history. Then you go to Copeland and Creflo Dollar, or whatever his real name is, and it's come pretty, become pretty much mainstream. No. It's probably Bill Wilson, or I don't know. It's who knows what it is. He actually changed his name to Dollar. But I'd like to make a little comment here, or actually read a 1 Timothy chapter. He's talking about false teachers, and verse 3 it starts: "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." I mean, how much clearer could you get? These false teachers way back when said gain is godliness, and from such withdraw thyself. I mean, that verse is kryptonite, in my opinion, to Kenneth and all these other wolves that are twisting the scriptures, because they say that if you are godly, you will be rich. And of course, the videos of him flying his new jets and everything else is just shows that. But
now I will. I'll go ahead and tell you this now. Don't get disturbed, because he said three billionaires. Now I don't want you to get disturbed, because since I'm one of them, it'll only leave two more. No, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute, of course, I'm saying this with a smile on my face, but I'm serious as I can be. But now, I'm not one of those three, since I already am one. I've already appropriated that. I've been walking in that a long time.
That verse, I found that verse today, and I thought, man, that's says perfect. It right there.
It sure does. Yeah, it sure does. And folks back to, because this is, again, if it's not wealth, if it's not money that's being talked about, then it's health, and that all boils back down to positive confession, to right thinking. Here's something that one researcher wrote concerning these mind science cults, as he describes them, which is really just word faith theology. Terrence Newman is the author. If you want to look him up, folks, Terrence Newman wrote this. He said the doctrine of correct thinking is asserted, and it's asserted this way, quote, thinking is formative. Every thought clothes itself in a life form according to the character given it by the thinker. This being true, it must follow that thoughts of health will produce microbes to build up healthy organisms, that thoughts of disease will produce microbes of disorder and destruction. And so, end quote. So, following from that then, guys, folks that subscribe to this kind of theology, they will deny reality. They can be involved in something and suffer physically, and they're looking at the result of that circumstance, and they will deny the reality of it. They won't speak about it. They'll say exactly the opposite, because they think if they say the opposite that it'll reverse the reality. How far from, in your opinion, guys, how far from witchcraft is that?
Terminology only.
Semantics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There
it's
is
a mantra?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a tiny, I mean, this is so small, but there is always a tiny bit of truth in some of that stuff. Because
exactly.
you can read the Proverbs, and it says, you know, laughter is healthy. You know, there's many proverbs that talk about you being, you know, what is it? Laughter is health of the body. I can't remember the exact verse. There's a few verses like that, but they just take those and they build an entire, well, they shoehorn them into their doctrine, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, I'm not here to deny that. If you are always, you know, depressed, down on yourself, sitting around all day, et cetera, you're going to have health problems. But if you think about it, that's almost the opposite of what they say. Does that make sense? Because they're saying that only your words affect your health, and I'm saying the opposite. if you have an attitude, you know, down all the time. I mean, there's people that are literally, what do they call it when you think you're sick, but you're not?
Hypochondria.
You know, that's a real thing. You can literally talk yourself into being sick, but the word faith movement, you are literally creating, you're doing a creative miracle when you speak things into existence, whether they're good or bad. They take the verse, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they completely blow that up to mean that we can literally speak life or speak death when, you know, the context is extremely obvious. It's,
right.
You know,
yes.
I don't know. It's craziness.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Let me give some resources at this point, guys, for folks that want to study this further on their own. Because, listen, I say this all the time at the church that I'm blessed to pastor. You don't have to believe a word I say. You do not. You can blow me off if you want to, because you've all got a Bible. You can all study it for yourselves. Most of you already have the internet. You can do the research for yourself. You can go out there and look and check. It's very easy to determine whether or not I'm crazy or not. So I challenge you to do that. You don't have to believe anything Adam said, Paul said, I said about this subject at all. You can continue on your merry path of ignorance, believing that it is all biblical, Or you can take our challenge and you can go out and research this. And I would encourage you, if you're hook, line, and sinker for the word, if you're still listening to us at this point, and you're hook, line, and sinker in the word faith, prosperity, health, wealth, whatever you want to call it. I call it slappy, happy stuff. If you're still listening, go out and research it. Here's some resources for you. Check out Gordon Fee, F-E-E, Gordon Fee, his paper on the cult of prosperity. The cult of prosperity. You can check that out. He also has another article, The Gospel of Perfect Health. Gordon Fee, F-E-E, The Gospel of Perfect Health. I encourage you to go find that. And then a book that really helped me to grasp, very comprehensive, was Daniel McConnell's A Different Gospel, A Historical and Biblical Analysis of the Faith Movement. That, more than any other resource that I've acquired over the years, gave me a very good, in-depth understanding of the historical roots of Word Faith. And folks, it is occultic. The Word Faith, Positive Confession, Prosperity, Wealth, Name It, Claim It, is occultic. The roots of it are occultic. As it's practiced today, it is occultism. And again, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm trying to wake you up from the stupor that you're in. So McConnell's book, A Different Gospel, A Historical and Biblical Analysis of the Faith Movement. You got to get the book, get Fee's articles. But let me condense this, and I'm going to turn it back over to you guys after I say this. Everything that we've been talking about and these resources that I've given you, folks, go check them out. Here's what you're going to find out. And here's another researcher that did a lot of good work on Word Faith, and especially as it relates to Jesus or Christology, the theology of Christ, Christology. Judith Matta, M-A-T-T-A, Judith Matta, her book, The Born-Again Jesus of the Word Faith Teaching. The Born-Again Jesus of the Word Faith Teaching, Judith Matta, M-A-T-T-A. Here's what she had to say. She traced the health and wealth theology to the mind-healing cults, as Paul said, all the way back to Kenyon. Kenyon was really the source for Kenneth Hagin, and it's a very well-known fact that Hagin plagiarized Kenyon unashamedly. The vast majority of what Hagin wrote and published as his own work was actually E.W. Kenyon. Matta has investigated the Christology and wrote about it in the book that I gave you of the Word Faith Teaching. She concluded, this is her summary of their doctrine concerning Christ, that Jesus was obedient to death and to the creator of death, Satan, thereby creating a new satanic nature in Jesus' soul and spirit. In their concept of atonement, the health and wealth teachers contend that redemption was not finished on the cross, that Jesus became literal sin, suffered 3 days and nights in hell, died physically and spiritually, became a born-again man, just as those since him have become born-again men. Not only that, they also teach that Jesus came to earth as a man, not taking the nature of God in his divine power, not operating in divine power, but by the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit available to Christians. This recurrence of the ancient Ebionite view of Christ goes further when it asserts that Christians are now godlike, having the nature of God and the ability of God. The believer is described as much as an incarnation as was Jesus.
Do you know what else that's settled then tonight? This hue and cry and controversy that has been spawned by the devil to try and bring dissension within the body of Christ, that we're gods. I am a little God.
Yes.
Wow. That's a summary of what the Word Faith, the prosperity, health, wealth teachers believe. Why aren't you hearing that, folks? Why aren't you hearing that? Why are you only hearing that God wants you to be healthy and wealthy? And by the way, and I'm going to throw it back to you, Paul or Adam, whichever one of you wants to jump in. Why is it that when the prosperity teachers say God wants you to be prosperous and he wants you to be healthy, but you can't do that unless you give me money first? Why is that?
Adam, I think you can handle this one.
Because it's a scam. I mean, it's just like the Word Faith healers. You know, we talked about that. You'll never see them down at the children's hospital. You know, these things, I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, but it's a scam. I mean, if you want to say God wants me to be happy, absolutely God wants you to be happy. As far as Philippians 4:13 goes, but you got to read the verses before that, right?
Right.
I mean, everybody quotes Philippians 4:13, and that's, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
But they don't. It was about sports or something.
Yes. That's about. But the whole context of the verse is Paul going through prison, Paul going throughout, Paul getting whipped, Paul having nothing, and he's saying, whether I have much or little, I can be content because I can do all things through Christ. You know what I mean? So
that's right.
So, you know, I tell people all the time, yeah, God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be happy following him and whatever life throws at you, that you won't rely on him and you can deal with it. Not that you get worldly blessings. I mean, the verse I was looking up earlier is, you know, it just appears to me that this movement substitutes spiritual blessings. And whenever God says, I want to give you something, they translate it that as worldly blessings, worldly gifts. That's, you know, and Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I mean, that's not hard to understand. You know, this is not your best life now.
You hope it's not.
Well, we're getting ripped off if it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, how many times in the Bible, I mean, I just did a quick, I was going to say Google, but I'm not allowed. I did a quick search just to find, you know, covetous and, you know, abundance and, you know, Jesus, I mean, he never, I can't find it anyway. He never spoke positively about money. And I can't find it if he did. But his focus was always, I mean, look at the, I think it's Luke 18 is, that sounds right. Luke 18, it said, Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I think it's in the other synoptic gospel too. But, and then, you know, it's, I mean, Luke 12, contentment. It's, he's always talking about being content. He's talking about beware of covetousness. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. I mean, it's
moth and rust.
Yeah, moth and rust. I mean, it's just lay up yourselves treasures in heaven. And I know the social justice warriors always, they want to, you know, go to socialism and all this stuff, but it's true. You know, I mean, our goal in life as Christians is to, you know, be the body of Christ. And he on the earth didn't amass wealth to himself.
He didn't
Should
have a
we,
house.
You know, he didn't even have a house, but I don't know. I just see the big problem with health and wealth is a wrong view of,
well,
what your life is supposed to be. I mean, what Christian life looks like.
I think the key on this is, you know, just, you know, there's always a ditch on both sides of the road. Like Paul brought up with the social justice warriors and stuff. It's not a sin to have money. You know what I mean? It is not evil to have a house and a car and these things. So some of the apostles had houses, you know, some didn't. It just depends on what your calling is. You know, Paul's traveling all around planting churches. As far as I know, he did not have a permanent residence, but Peter did, you know. So you know, I think we got to be careful and not say, well, so-and-so's driving this year car, so he's not right with God. You know, that's not right, you know. But the problem with, you know, we're talking, you know, the socialistic lie that's permeated a lot of churches. Maybe we'll do an episode on that sometime. You know, we're on the opposite end of the spectrum tonight, talking about, you know, wealth and health. But, you know, was that Creflo Dollar or Copeland? Who was the guy on the YouTube clip that's like on the stage yelling money? You know, I mean, have you guys seen that?
That could have been any. I haven't. That could have been any one of them.
Yeah, but
there's a few of those.
Yeah, but you know, that's the spectrum we're dealing with tonight, and what we're dealing with tonight is 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is an inanimate object. You have to have money. You know, in fact, if you don't have a job, if you're not providing, then you're worse than an infidel. But when you get to the point, like when your obsession is money, you know, there's going to be people that listen to this, and because they love money, they love darkness rather than light, they're going to say, nope, they're wrong. I don't want to hear it, because that, you know, their heart is set on the almighty dollar. And the other thing that I think is such a glaring contradiction is the fact that, well, first of all, Paul and a lot of these guys had nothing, you know, and were not healthy. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Trophimus was sick and couldn't get healthy. You know, it's clearly anti-biblical to believe this stuff. But the other thing that amazes me is this, I don't want to say an American problem, but maybe just a, you know, I'm getting at, you know, you're not going to go.
It is uniquely, yes, yeah, it is a uniquely American, because it was birthed here. It was birthed here in New England. And by the way, Phineas Quimby, Mary Baker Eddy, who had close ties to Blavatsky in theosophy, and all of, yeah. And so what we're talking, and we need him to touch on that, folks. And by the way, to Adam's earlier point, we are going to do a series of episodes on a number of different things that are related to the word faith, not just the word faith, but we're going to talk about socialism within the church and this whole so-called social justice movement that has captured the minds and hearts of many of our young people who profess faith in Christ. We hope to correct the erroneous teaching that is going on today that Christians should be all about social justice. First of all, that's not scriptural. It's not even in the Bible. Justice, absolutely, but not this perversion of God's justice that we call social justice. But anyway, that's just a little teaser for down the road. But Adam, you made a good point. The issue is the heart. The issue is the heart. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money, God and material possessions. He didn't say that we wouldn't try, because it is human nature. It inclines us toward that. And that's one of the issues that I have, Paul and Adam, with prosperity preachers, is that they're pushing and teaching and telling people that they should be pursuing these things, the very thing that could lead them into all sorts of trouble, all sorts of addictions. It's almost like peddling drugs, in my view, to people, and trying to persuade them to get involved in things that could destroy their life. Jesus, as you said, didn't promote wealth or money. He didn't speak against it. He spoke against the heart attitude of people who made it their priority. And so I think that's part of the underlying reason for why we've decided to have this conversation tonight. I'll give you guys the final word as we look at wrapping up this episode. Paul?
Well, since this is my final word, I'll make it short. The problem with this word of faith teaching, or the prosperity teaching, or both, since they seem to be in our day and age linked, it leads to tremendous despair in, I think, true believers, because I know many, many, many believers that are trapped in this, and I would never doubt their salvation, but they're ignorant of the gospel. You know, they're ignorant of the true gospel. They've come to faith in Christ and they got under bad teaching. And now they get to a point where they have a loss of, you know, they think that if they are being godly and they have faith, that God wants them to be healthy and wealthy, which we've said 100 times. But people don't realize that this just creates such despair in their lives. And I've seen it personally. I had a person that's close to me who was, they were sick. They were sick a lot. They had some serious issues with, the thyroid and other things. And they didn't really get any of this cleared up till they got out from underneath that word faith teaching and started going to a solid Bible believing church. And I just thought that was like an epiphany to me. Wow. They get out from under the teaching of healing and confessing and claiming and just start, getting into a good church. And her problems, she did things. She changed her diet and other things, but her problems kind of went away. And I just found that it's really telling. It's telling when you get out from under it, and then, I would say she was healed.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's just a strange thing when people are under this, that they just have a cognitive dissonance where they deny reality, and it just creates despair and depression. And I don't know. It's just sad to watch.
Okay. Is this final thoughts? Okay. Yeah, I think I want to touch on two things. First of all, people that get into this, it can do a lot of damage, because you may have an illness or something, and you may not seek proper treatment because you think that's a lack of faith. There's times you need to go to the doctor. You know what I mean? We live in fallen bodies. Doctors don't know everything. Medicine isn't always a cure-all. But pray about it, but don't just sit there and not seek treatment. I mean, I have diabetes runs big in my family, and you can't just not take insulin. You know what I mean? So just, I want people to be smart about things. And, we're not saying God doesn't heal people. Yeah, I mean, we're not saying supernatural things don't happen. It's just the way you approach these things. If I pray, if Paul is having an issue and I pray for him, God can heal him, but I can't force God to do something by speaking things into existence, and that's what they teach, that they can demand. I've heard people that are in this movement say, you don't ask God stuff, you demand it. I've heard them say, that's crazy. I don't go to the throne of God, with a list and a demand and shaking my fist. But, just real quick to touch on what you said, Mike, that you can't serve two masters. And the second one is Mammon, which is the god of money, correct? Two examples that we see here, and this is another reason spiritually why this is so dangerous, is in Matthew chapter 19, we see a young man approaching Jesus saying, how do I get eternal life? And, Jesus kind of goes through the commandments and different stuff. And in verse 20, it says, the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And verse 22 says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So here we see a man who is not willing to let go of the world to serve Jesus. And also to touch on that is in Matthew chapter 13, where it talks about the sower and the seed. And one of the types of seed, or one of the types of ground, is thorns. It's thorny ground. And Matthew 13:22 says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So there's a lot of people with a worldly mindset that this type of belief system attracts. It talks to their flesh. And there's a lot of people that get into this movement and they don't hear the gospel. And when they find out that, hey, I'm not being healed, and hey, I didn't get a raise, then all of a sudden it's God's fault. Jesus gets the black eye because of these guys' false teaching. And that's, like you said, that's blasphemy. That's shameful. So that's my two cents.
Yep. Very good, guys. Folks, boil all of this down to what we've said in this past nearly an hour. Word, faith, prosperity, health, wealth, whatever you want to call it, folks. This theology focuses you on yourself and on the world and the material riches to be had in this world. And if you're focused on self and you're focused on the world, then you do not belong to Christ. First John says that the deceitfulness, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these things will come in and they will rob you. They will rob you of your salvation. Now, some folks just said to themselves, well, you can't lose your salvation. Do you want to bet on that? Do you want to risk that while you're chasing the world's riches, while you're focusing on yourself and what you should have? Do you really want to gamble that that's not the case? And you can believe that, well, somebody that loses their salvation was never saved in the first place. Well, I can tell you something right now, folks. You're walking a thin line. There are a lot of people out there that are claiming to serve the Lord, but they will hear these terrifying words one day: depart from you, from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. There are hundreds and perhaps thousands of people who believe they belong to Christ, but they do not. They're pursuing everything but Christ. Folks, do your own research. Do your own study. You've got a Bible. We've tried to give you what we can give you in this episode. We're going to come back. Paul and Adam are going to join me again, and we're going to talk about some other subjects that we hope will encourage and edify the body of Christ. And it is my prayer that that's exactly what we've done in this episode. God bless you, and thanks for listening. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek him.